Christmas and Advent are the celebration of Jesus born to Mary. It is, in theological terms, the celebration of the Incarnation, Jesus, fully God and fully human. The Incarnation is God's invitation to every one of us to know God's love, that you would know God's love for you, face to face and person to person, that you would know God's love for you in your heart, in your mind, that you would know it emotionally and spiritually, that you would sense and be aware of God's love and you would experience it. The Incarnation is also God's invitation for you to know God's love physically in your body, to know God's love through sight, hearing, and touch. Jesus came fully God and fully human. Jesus came in the flesh. To know and experience God's love, to feel God's love for you in the special moments in life, is to feel joy and hope and peace. This is not, though, limited to a spiritual experience or a mystical experience. In Jesus' birth, what we see is that God came physically into human history, physically into our lives. And therefore, our love for God must have these two natures, these two aspects. It's an emotional love, a spiritual love that we have for God in response to God's love for us. But it is also something that we live out in our physical lives, in this world, in our daily activities, in our daily choices. Likewise, this love must be acted out in a similar way, carried out in a similar way for other people. We are meant, we are called, we are designed to love one another emotionally and spiritually. We are also called to love one another, carried out and lived out in practical ways. We heard from the Gospel, according to Matthew, that Joseph was told, "You are to name your son Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus came to save us. Not just save us from being found guilty of sin at some future judgment, but to be saved from a life of sin. Jesus came to save us from hopelessness, from despair, from apathy. Jesus came to save us from indifference to other people's hardship and suffering. Jesus came to save us from choosing our own comfort and our own well-being at the expense of other people's well-being. Jesus came to save us from living day after day without prayer. Jesus came to save us from going through our days without any sense that God, our Creator, our Father, is there at our side. That the Holy Spirit is willing to come and live within our hearts. Jesus came not just to save us from, but to save us for and to. Jesus came to save us to love God and to enjoy being with God, to enjoy being aware of God's presence around us as we go about our activities, whether it's day or night, at work, at play, at rest, with friends, alone. Jesus came to save us so that we might know in this life the joy and the peace of God's presence at our side. Jesus came to save us so that we might be able to love our neighbors, to love our brothers and sisters who are poor, to love our brothers and sisters who are wealthy, to love those among us who are black, to love those among us who are white, to love our brothers and sisters who are indigenous. The incarnation reveals that when we are loved, there are these two aspects that must always be present. The emotional, the spiritual, the inward love in our hearts, in our minds, but also the physical, the sensory, the active, the outward, lived out experience of love, both that is shared both between us and God and shared between us and one another. If we reflect on our own experiences of love in life, perhaps we can see how this has been true. Perhaps you can imagine a time when someone has prepared a meal for you. And you can imagine all the steps that someone goes through, the work that has to be done. And then providing it and setting it before you. Now, that's a lot of effort. But can you imagine two ways that has been done for you? Someone in the kitchen angrily chopping the onion, and you can hear it reverberating throughout the house, and stomping, and doors opening and closing, cabinets, plates being put on the table, and finally, everyone summoned, and a plate put before you. Here it is! And another meal prepared. Perhaps with someone humming, and singing, and the meal set before you with a smile. The same work was done, and yet a very different spirit, with a very different spirit, with a very different emotion, with a very different feeling in the heart. And it's received differently. The same physical activity still needed that loving intention, that spiritual kindness and goodness, regardless of how frustrating the day had been or how ungrateful the recipients might be. Or perhaps we can think of a person that we've loved. Someone that was physically present in the room with us. A friend, a family member, perhaps a spouse. Physically they are there. And yet there is a coldness in the room. There is a distance. There is an emptiness. There is a longing for that other element, a spiritual element, an emotional element of love. Or perhaps we can think of someone we've loved who has passed away. We still feel that emotional connection, that spiritual connection with them, and yet we long so much to see them again with our own eyes, to hear their voice again, to be able to touch them. I remember my Grandpa Galt. I remember the smell of the planter's peanuts that he would share with me. I can still feel him shaking my hand. I can still hear him saying to me, "You're a good man." I can still remember my Grandma McLean. I can still hear her laugh. I can still taste her roast beef dinners, her potatoes that have never been able to get as good as she could. I can still feel her hug and her kiss on my cheek. And yet I long for that physical presence with them again. We are meant to share with God and with one another both an emotional and spiritual love, but also a physical and material love. We saw God behaving this way and living this out in the passage that was read for us from Isaiah. King Ahab was king, and several nations had surrounded Judah, the nation, as a coalition, ready to attack, destroy their cities, and take them prisoner and captive. And this was God's word through the prophet Isaiah: "You will be safe, and this will be a sign to you. The young woman is having a child. He will be called Emmanuel," which, as we've been told, means God is with us. "And before he's old enough to go out and eat on his own, you will be saved." God said here to the people of Israel, "I love you." And then he delivered them. He acted in history, he intervened, and they knew that God was with them. But the gospel lesson is the story of God becoming one of us. God coming and living physically among us. The Word became flesh and lived among us. This is the most beautiful, most comprehensive and profound example of God's love for you, for all of humanity, and for all of creation. It was not enough in God's mind that we would simply have a spiritual awareness that there was a God, a spiritual awareness that God loved us. That was not enough. God had made us flesh and blood, and so God came in the flesh so that we would know both spiritually, emotionally, and physically, materially, that God loves us. We have a tendency to reject the incarnation. It is, for all we know, impossible. It seems unbelievable. It would be far easier to accept something that was strictly physical, that God really just wanted us to make the world a better place on our own, that if we just would behave better and learn to treat each other well, everything would be all right. That is much easier to believe. Or we prefer a spiritual, mystical experience, that God is an invisible presence that we get to know mystically. But the incarnation unites all of this in the child, Jesus Christ, born to Mary. Mary gave birth to a son, and Joseph named him Jesus. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God is among us. In the first letter of John, John writes, God's love was revealed to us in this way. God sent his only son into the world. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does away with Jesus is not from God. Christmas is our annual reminder that God's intention is that we would have a loving, face-to-face relationship with God. That the love of God would be poured into our hearts. That the love of God would be emotional, spiritual, and mystical. The love poured into our hearts. This was Paul's prayer, that you would know the surpassing greatness of God's love for you. The incarnation is a reminder that God's love, that our love for God must also be acted out in our daily lives in material ways. That we would make time in our week, that we would make it the goal of our life in our daily habits to seek God and God's love. We have been given so many means to know God and God's love. Prayer, Scripture, this church community, the songs that have been handed down to us, the confessions that we've been given. This is something that we are meant to live out day by day. But Scripture also challenges us to examine our hearts and our behaviors to see if we are loving others in our midst, with our habits and our actions. Paul challenges us in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, emotionally and spiritually, how are we loving one another? Are you patient? Are you kind? Are you gentle? Do you forgive? Do you hope the best in others? Do you believe the best of others? First John again asks us if our love is being acted out in physical ways, not just as a feeling, but as an act, even a sacrificial act. Those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. This is the commandment we have from Jesus. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. And we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And so we ought to lay our lives down for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees someone else, a neighbor in their city, and yet refuses to help? We have lived in such a way, and I know that perhaps you will say, I didn't, and yet I feel we are all culpable. We have lived in such a way as citizens of this city that our city council preferred to reduce our property taxes than to use any of that money to further help the homeless. Now, Heather and I have walked past dead bodies. We have lived in such a way that the politicians of this province would prefer to send us $500 than to increase the amount given to people who are on long-term disability. But I know so few people that are so black-hearted. So many of the people I know are such good people. So wonderful. And so much joy and so much happiness and goodness in them. But I also wish for all of us and for everyone that I meet that they would know the joy of God's love. And that they would allow that love to soften, that we would allow that love to soften our hearts. And we would pursue God's love with all that we have, with all the time we have and energy we have, so that our hearts might be softened. And then out of that softening, we might pray for opportunities, for creativity, for energy, for vision, for a means, any means at all, to help our neighbors in the way that would be best. Our love must be both in our hearts and lived out in action for others. The God of this love, the love of our God, rather, is our light, our hope, our peace, our joy. We celebrate this at Christmas to renew our commitment to seek God, to seek God's love, to renew our commitment to love others, to love one another. May the God of love fill your hearts with the knowledge of God's love. And may that love give you peace and hope and joy this Christmas and every day. And to God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.